Sentire Media.
Have you ever dreamt of retiring to Italy but got tangled in the elective residency visa web? Are you totally confused about comments that you've read on Facebook? Or maybe you're worried that you just don't qualify. Maybe you're not even sure if the ERV is right for you. Well, today is your day, my friend, because in this episode, I'm going to cut through all that confusion and lay out who's really best suited for the ERV. I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty on two of the biggest qualifications that has everyone buzzing. The first one is the residential address in Italy, and the second is the financial requirements. Now, trust me on this one, my friends, because the ERV is my specialty, and I have helped get countless people out of jackpots, help them get their visas, and on the plane to Italy. So stay tuned as we learn the truth about the elective residency visa. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. Well, hello again and welcome back. You are listening to A New Life in Italy, and I am Samantha Wilson, your guide on this adventure to make Italy your new home. Now, today we're getting into the thick of it with the elective residency visa. Yeah, that elusive ERV that everyone is talking about. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure you've heard many tales of woes and triumphs about this visa, and like most things on the internet, you really can't believe everything you read. This visa is elusive, yes. It is discretionary, and it depends on where you apply and the particular clerk sitting across from you. Now, there's common reasons people fail to get this visa, and the stories that you hear are usually only half-truths. Now, I've done enough of these visas to tell you that the devil is in the details and that no two applications are alike. So the first thing to remember is that your application is your application. Don't concern yourself so much with what other people have done or are doing. Just focus on yourself. And let me tell you that it's not always about not having enough money or enough money in the bank or enough money coming in. Sometimes it's just the way that you tell your story to the consulate. So stick around because today we're going to make sure that your ERV application sings the right tune to those who need to hear it. So let's dive in to the ERV. Now, it sounds fancy, doesn't it? The elective residency visa. This is Italy's way of saying if you can support yourself without working a day in this country, then come on in. We're happy to have you. But here's where it gets tricky. What does support yourself really mean? And how do you prove that you are the perfect candidate? So first up, let's talk about who this visa is actually for. If you've been dreaming of moving to Italy to work or to start a business, I hate to break it to you, but this is not your visa. The elective residency visa is for those of you who don't want or need to work. So you're retired. You cannot work at all. Zero. Nada. Zip. Not for your own company back in your home country. You can't buy an agriturismo or a B&B and work in the B&B. You need to be fully retired and able to live off your passive income. Every consulate is different, so you need to check their list of requirements before you start to prepare, and again a few weeks from when you're applying to make sure that nothing has changed. You see, Italian procedures are notoriously difficult, and they change often without telling you, so it's up to you to make sure that what you're doing is actually current. Most of the criteria is pretty standard, like having a passport, an application form, pay the money, which by the way also changes usually about every 4 months. And obviously sometimes you need insurance and a criminal record check, all of these things that are pretty basic to any visa application. But the two pieces that get our folks confused and in trouble are having a residential address in Italy prior to applying, and of course, those nasty financial requirements. So let's start with the residential address, because you have flexibility on this one. It's up to you where you want to live. It's up to you how much you want to pay rent or how much you're going to spend on a home if you're buying it. Where we see the problems are usually in timing and availability for rentals, that is. I'm going to talk about renting because if you already own a home or are going to buy, yay for you, you have this part covered. But if you plan on renting, which is always a really good idea when you're first arriving in Italy, you have a little hill that can feel sometimes like a mountain to climb before you can even start your application. And that is finding a place to rent, because for the ERV, an Airbnb does not work. An Airbnb or a hotel or any kind of temporary accommodation doesn't fit. You need to have a residential lease that is registered with the tax office here in Italy. Renting in Italy is very, very difficult. It's actually notoriously difficult for foreigners. And it can take a really long time to find a property that you like, whether it's in a city or a town that you choose, and you have to find an owner that's willing to rent to you. Now, why is this such a problem? Well, it's because the Landlord-Tenant Acts in Italy, the law, is very much in favor of the renter. So the owner is worried that if he rents to you and you move in and live there full time and you don't pay your rent or you destroy the place or you do something bad, he can never get you out. Because in Italy, it's a fact. Eviction is very, very difficult to do. Even if you don't pay your rent, it can take the owner years to remove you. And because you're a foreigner and he doesn't quite understand your foreign income or how you're going to pay, he gets a little bit suspicious, a little bit hinky. So it can be very difficult to convince an owner to trust a foreign renter. Do not take it for granted that just because you have the money to pay rent, that the owner will rent to you. This is a country based on relationships. I talk about this a lot. And unless you have someone vouching for you, whether that is an agent, a real estate agent, or a friend, it's going to be really hard to convince a stranger to trust you that you're going to pay your rent. I strongly recommend that you use a rental agency to help you. It's going to cost you a little bit more, usually a month's rent and commission, but it'll be well worth the price to ensure that the contract that you're getting is good for you, protects you, that it's correct for your visa, and that the property is properly registered so that you can use it. Now, an agent or a friend can certainly vouch for you, and this goes really a long way to your success. But really be sure to give yourself time. I mean, it can take sometimes more than 3 months and several properties to actually find one that will accept you. And timing is difficult because it can take up to 3 months to find a property. And then again, the consulate takes another 3 months potentially to decide on your visa. You're going to have to be prepared to pay a month or so's rent in advance of you arriving. And I know this stings a little bit, but it's just the nature of the beast. If you time it right, you can get away with paying maybe just a month's rent before you arrive. You shouldn't start looking for a rental until at least 2 to 3 months from the time you want the lease to begin. If you start any earlier, an owner just isn't going to talk to you. Rentals go fast here, and an owner isn't going to sign a lease that starts 6 months into the future. So you have to think about the timing. Think of your anticipated arrival date and work backwards. About 2 months prior to when you hope to apply for your visa is when you should start the rental search. Now, if you need some help finding a rental, you know that we can help you at smartmoveitaly.com/rent. You can put in your rental criteria there. But otherwise, you can ask friends and family and anybody that you know in the area that you're planning to move to, and they might know somebody who has a rental for you. And of course, they can vouch for you. But the big thing to remember is that your rental will need to be for residential purposes, and it has to be registered in the tax office. Without this registration sheet and form, your application will be immediately denied. I also suggest that you rent something furnished. Now, if you plan to bring your furniture with you, it can take a lot of months for you before you can actually bring it in because you need to wait for your residency to avoid paying duty on the belongings that you're bringing in. So if you rent furnished or even partially furnished, this is a really good idea. Also, the biggest piece of advice I can give you is not to forget that it's just a rental. This is not your forever home. And I know that you have this vision of your home in Italy and you want to stick to that, but it may take some time to find that perfect house. And once you're here and you're established and you start to meet people, it does become easier. You will meet people and you'll learn about the area that you've chosen to live, and you might even want to move. But if you hold out at the beginning before choosing a rental because it's not your perfect Italian home, you're going to end up in this never-ending loop. We see it all the time. So think of your rental as the means to your elective residency visa, and it can be changed later. Don't get in your way. Find a rental that fits your criteria as close to possible as it can, that allows your residency, that an owner will work with you and sign the papers so that you can get your visa. Now, on to the big question. How much money do you need to qualify for the elective residency visa? The term really is substantial passive income. Well, that's the phrase, and it's about as clear as mud. Of course, it's super open to interpretation and discretion, which is in the favor of the consulate, of course. But I'll let you in on what the consulates really want to see in your bank account and how you can showcase your finances so that, you know, they're nodding along thinking, yeah, you are the perfect person for this visa. Now, here's the first big misunderstanding. What is passive income? Now, let's start by saying that it isn't savings. It is not all the money in your bank. It's not 401ks with distributions. It's not RRSPs or income from remote work. Passive income is regular, reliable, guaranteed income from pensions, investments, or rentals, of course, depending on the source. And basically money that comes in without you lifting a finger in Italy, and money that you cannot touch. And this is why we have a problem with retirement plans like 401ks or RRSPs, because essentially, although I know it doesn't make tax sense, technically you could move to Italy, find this amazing villa that you've fallen in love with, cash out all of your 401ks, buy it, and then have nothing. So the Italian government wants to make sure that you have money coming in on a regular, reliable, guaranteed basis. This is why distributions from retirement plans are not considered passive income, unless you have a mandatory amount that has to come out every single year and you can't do more. That way we can say it's more guaranteed. But on the most part, 401ks don't work. Now, the test that I like to make is this. If you can wake up in the morning and hang out in your favorite piazza all day long, and you never take a phone call, you never reply to an email, will the money continue to arrive in your bank every month or every year whenever you get it? If the answer to that question is yes, then that is passive income. If the answer is no, that you have to do something in order to get that money, then it's not passive income and doesn't qualify. Now, let me clarify about the amount that you need, because this is a big old question that everyone asks. Now, in most cases, you will read on almost all of the consulate websites that you need about 32,000 net euros a year of passive income per person. Sometimes it says 38,000 net euros per year for a couple. But I can tell you that after doing hundreds and hundreds of elective residency visas, and in working in consulates all over the world, this is not true. The amount that you see is the minimum, and it's very, very discretionary. And unless you have substantial savings, investments, property, and other assets to support your application, you will not likely be approved with just the minimum income. Unfortunately, it's very misleading and can be quite frustrating because people want to know exactly how much they need for this visa, but it's open to discretion. So my answer to that question is you must have at least the minimum, which is 32,000 per person, or, and I know you've seen things on couples, but I'm telling you it's per person, and or you must have more in assets and savings. The more you have in passive income, the better. Usually you will need substantially more than the minimum. And the reason is that you're not permitted to work in Italy. The government wants you to be sure that if something happens when you're here and you suddenly need more money, that you have a backup plan, or at least enough money to continue to live in Italy without the need for working. Because remember, you can't work on this visa. So how much is enough? Well, this depends on the totality of your application, as I said. So you should show as much as you can, and that really is all that you can do. If you can exceed the minimum by adding in some annuities, I know they're not great, but by adding them in, then you should. And you should be shooting for over 45,000 euros net per person per year to feel confident of an approval, to really sleep well. You should have around 45K net per person in euros a year. Now, it doesn't have to come in monthly. I know you see a monthly number. It's just the total amount that you're getting per year is what they care about. So what if you don't have the 45,000? Should you still apply? Yes, I think you should, as long as you have at least the minimum. And if you want to try it, I say go for it. You could be denied, and in often cases you will be, but if you want to apply in the future, you can, as long as you fix the deficiencies. So if you're denied because you don't have enough passive income, and somehow in the future, maybe a few years, you start getting another pension, then wait and you can reapply at that time. It doesn't mean you're dead in the water if you get denied. If the situation changes and that deficiency that you had is now gone, you certainly can reapply. Now, they're going to look at the totality of your application and the source of the income. It's got to be passive. It has to be guaranteed, regular, reliable, and for life. So please, if you're on the line and just meet the minimum, do not sell your home and everything you own until you know that you're approved. And I know that sounds like common sense, but I can tell you that we receive phone calls from a lot of people who are in this position. They just assumed that they would pass the visa, that it was an easy thing to do. They sold up everything, living in a rented apartment, really have gotten rid of all their stuff, ready to move to Italy, and they've been denied. So it's really good advice for anyone applying for a visa. Don't take it for granted that you will be approved. This is a tricky visa, and there are a lot of denials. So make sure you always have your plan B. So what's the secret to a successful application? You know, how do you make your application stand out? I'm going to tell you. Because it's not just about showing that you've got passive income and cash in the bank. It's about painting a picture of your life in Italy. I'm talking about where you're going to be living, how you'll spend your days, and why Italy is the only place for your retirement. Don't underestimate the importance of the cover letter. That is the secret ingredient. I've had clients tell me that consulates specifically told them that our cover letters are the reason that they quickly got a yes. And even if your consulate on the list of requirements does not include a cover letter, include a cover letter. It is super important. But be careful not to get too emotional in your letter. So pepper it with your why, of course, but remember, this is a visa office and they really don't care so much about your family history. And of course, the trip that you went on when you were 8 years old, picking olives with some old woman in Sicily, they want to believe that you are prepared for the move, that you have thought about how your new life in Italy will unfold and what you've done to prepare. Maybe that's language lessons, for example. They want to know that you know about your obligations to immigration and finally, of course, that you can support yourself. Think of it as more facts than feelings. Just sprinkle the feelings in, but give them the facts. So what happens once you've got everything together and you have applied? Well, it's pretty simple. Once you've submitted your application, the wait starts, and this is probably the most uncomfortable part. It's the wait. I mean, it can take anywhere from a few days. I think the fastest we've ever seen is on the spot, an elective residency visa given literally on the spot at the appointment. And the longest we've seen is just over 90 days. But this is more post-pandemic times. We're seeing a little bit faster now. But it can take a long time. And during this time, the consulate has your passport, so you can't travel in the interim. So you are stuck. So make sure that you plan this properly and that you don't need your passport while you're waiting for your return of your visa. Now, there's nothing that you can do to speed it up. You simply have to wait. And we get lots of people saying, please, can you help me make it faster? And I'm sorry, we can do a lot, but we cannot push the consulate to move faster than they can. So if you don't hear back, though, after 90 days, you can certainly email them and ask them what's going on. But do not bother them before this time has passed. Just get busy doing other things and wait for your time to pass. Hopefully, it won't be too long. Now, three things are going to happen at the end of this wait period. One is you will just be denied, but this isn't usually what happens. If you're going to be flat out denied, they're usually not going to accept your application when you arrive. They're just going to turn you away. If you are mailing in your visa application, you could just get a denial letter if you don't meet the minimum requirements. So number one, you could be denied. Number two is you could be asked for further information. And this can happen sometimes. If you haven't built your application correctly and haven't shown your passive income in the right way, or they have questions, they will give you some time to fix it. And in law, you have 10 days to reply and fix those deficiencies. If you can fix them and you reply, and then hopefully you'll get your visa. And then the third thing, of course, is you get your visa and your passports back. And that is the best. You know, we've got these videos from people who we've helped that just are screaming and crying and so excited to get their visa. Because, you know, the wait is painful. And by the time you get your visa, it's pretty exciting. So what if you don't qualify? Let's just talk about that for a quick second. I mean, what if you have a lot of cash? Maybe you've got savings, a huge 401k. Maybe you've even sold your house and you've got equity, you know, cash in the bank, but you do not have passive income. Oftentimes this is because people might have been self-employed and they didn't, you know, they don't qualify for Social Security or, you know, government pensions yet. And they haven't built a pension, they've just got lots of cash. Well, don't pack up your dreams just yet, because you really should consider the investor visa, because this visa really is the ticket to Italy for a lot of people who couldn't qualify for the ERV. And a lot of them are now living here and living their best lives in Italy with the freedom of the investor visa. I do have an episode on that visa. I think it's episode number 3, but you can go back and check and it will tell you all about this visa and whether or not that you qualify. All right, my friends. So what have we learned today? The elective residency visa is a great choice to live and move to Italy if you don't want or don't have to work. That's the big point. It requires some planning for sure, about 6 months in advance. So start working on this visa 6 months from the time you hope to apply. It'll take this time often to get all of your paperwork in order, especially if you need to find a rental. Do not underestimate the importance of a good cover letter. This is critical. It is the secret to a successful application. You have to have substantial passive income, and I suggest anything over 45,000 net euros per person is a safe amount these days. Don't apply if you don't meet the minimum or have no passive income. But if you just meet the minimum, then you can give it a try. If you can't do anything to increase that amount, at least give it a whirl. I've helped hundreds of people get this visa, and although it can feel really overwhelming to start, it really is an excellent way to unlock the door to Italy and retire here, because you are electing to take residency in Italy, and that's the purpose of this visa. Not just to extend your 90-day stay here, it's for people who want to move, retire, not work, and live in Italy. Now, if you're feeling inspired and ready to take on the ERV, I'm here cheering you on. And for those of you who hit a bump, remember that we have a lot of ways to help you, from the ERV lab and our community, and to application reviews, and even a full service with me. The choice really is yours, and you can always see more on our website at smartmoveitaly.com/ERV assistance. Now, before I say ciao, ciao, let me leave you with this final thought. Life is short, my friends. Life is about taking chances. Even though it can feel like a really big step, and you may have a lot of questions on whether or not you have enough to qualify. If you meet the 32,000 net a year of passive income, and you build your application in the strongest way possible, I urge you to try for the elective residency visa. You know, if you're denied, you will know that at least you gave it your best shot. But if you never try, you will never know. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I am looking forward to our next chat, where we'll explore more ways that you can move to your new life in Italy. Ciao for now. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked three listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hi, Samantha. My name's Ruth Chippendale. I'd like to ask, if I were to get the ERV visa, I am English, what the tax regime is in Italy, and would I get dual tax? What would the percentage be on investments, pension, etc.? I think that's really about it. I just need to plan ahead before I apply for the ERV. Obviously, I'm a UK resident, so I need to compare with what I'd be paying in the UK as opposed to Italy if I moved there.
Well, hello, Ruth. And yes, now that after Brexit, the last few years ago, as a UK citizen, as you know, you have to now apply for a visa in order to move and live in Italy. So the elective residency visa is probably the one that fits you the best. And when you move to Italy, regardless of the visa you're on, so the ERV doesn't make any difference here. Whenever you move your residency to Italy, whether you're on a visa or you are an Italian citizen or another European citizen moving their fiscal, meaning their taxable residency to Italy, then you are tax evaluated in Italy on your worldwide income and assets. So this can be a bit of a scary thing to think about, because if you own assets in your foreign country, you can be taxed on the value of those assets here in Italy, which I know kind of ruffles a lot of feathers. But your worldwide income, whether that's pensions or, you know, if you're here on not on a ERV, but say you have some work income, all of that is taxed here. There is double taxation treaties to most of the countries, and the goal of those double taxation treaties are to ensure that you don't pay more tax than you need to. So not double tax in your home country or your former country and then tax in Italy. But it taxes, as you can imagine, are complicated, not just because it's Italy, just because it's taxes. So what you can do in order to evaluate your tax liability, there are some tax regimes and some special incentives for new arrivals in Italy. And a lot of retired people who are taking a pension, receiving a pension, because this is one of the requirements of the 7% tax benefit in Italy. And this means that you have to move to a certain region. It's the southern regions of Italy and in a small town of under 20,000 people to get this flat 7% tax that is still offset by the double taxation treaty. But what the 7% tax does is it removes the wealth tax calculation, which for some people is really what moves the needle on electing this special tax regime. So the elective residency visa itself isn't making an impact on your taxes. Because you're going to be doing the elective residency visa, this leads me to assume you have a pension. And because you have a pension, you could probably benefit from the 7% zone. So where you choose to live is what's going to make the difference for you. The best advice I can give you, and for all of the listeners out there who are coming on any way to Italy, is to always have a tax evaluation first before you move here, so you really understand what your liabilities will be. There's some great regimes here where you can save, you know, a lot of money in taxes. But if you don't know in advance, you just simply don't know what you don't know, and you can make some pretty big mistakes. So I really recommend that you do that. In Italy, they're called commercialista. This is a tax accountant in Italy. So I strongly recommend that you do that. And good luck on your ERV.
Hello, Sam. My name is Adrian, and I live on the south coast in the UK. And I've always wanted to live in Italy. But then Brexit happened, and that seems like it's impossible. But my question is, could I buy a property, just a cheap one, somewhere in the north, in the sort of 50 to 80 range, and then use it as a, you know, as a sort of visit and holiday home, things like that. But then when I'm not there, put it on Airbnb. So could I buy one as a sort of investment / business opportunity, I suppose? But then, yeah, that's really my question. Can I be earning money with a property on Airbnb if I live in the UK? I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about that. Thank you. Ciao.
Hi, Adrian. A really good question. And I feel for you for the Brexit. I know that that changed a lot of plans for a lot of people. A visa might be possible for you maybe later on. But for now, your question is whether or not you can buy a property and not live in it here in Italy and earn revenue from it. And the answer is yes, absolutely. As a British citizen, you can. There are some nationalities that right now are not allowed to buy a second home in Italy, but a British person can. So yes, you can buy yourself a small apartment, fix it up and put it out on Airbnb and earn money. The thing you have to think about is the income that you earn in Italy will be taxed in Italy because it's Italian sourced. But there's nothing to prevent you from doing that and nothing to prevent you from starting a little business with investment property. There's a lot of people that do that. Rental properties in Italy, depending on the location, can be really quite lucrative and good business ideas. And some of them are more seasonal than others, but I think you should give it a go if you can, because not only can you use it for yourself, but it is very possible that you could earn enough money to not only cover the expenses and the costs of the property, but also pay for all of your vacations here as well. So I say go for it. There's nothing stopping you.
Hey, Sam, this is Brian in Portland, Oregon. I've heard that working with contractors in Italy is much different from working with contractors in the U.S. If I'm doing a home renovation project in Italy, what should I expect?
Oh, such a good question, Brian. You know, a lot of people have this dream because they see advertisements for properties that are so cheap that you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to buy this house, spend a few thousand to buy it, and then just renovate it. It seems simple enough. But in Italy, it can be a challenge. I think trades and construction and renovations generally anywhere in the world, it's hard to find somebody that you trust and that will, you know, stay within budget and do what you want. But when you're in a foreign country where you don't understand the language and you don't understand the permits and the laws and the restrictions, which there are plenty here for certain buildings, it becomes even more complicated. What I recommend, first of all, contractors should always be, you should try to hire locals to do the actual work, the physical stuff, because they know the materials, because every region has a little bit different in materials. So they know the materials, they know the suppliers, they have an inroad often to the planning department as well. So it's good to have somebody local, but you should also always have a property manager that speaks perfect English, if English is your language, perfect English, and is able to be the go-between between you and the actual job. These people can charge about 10% or more for the project management, but it's well worth it because in the end, they can really save you at least 10% or more in troubles and hassles and overcharging and some of the other risks that you can have as a foreigner, not just not being here during the renovation, but actually, even if you are here, not being able to communicate properly with the workers. And a project manager will help organize not just the job, but the suppliers will make sure if there's any tax credits that you're qualify for, will ensure that the paperwork is done correctly so you can actually get those tax credits. And there's a lot of moving parts to a renovation, whether or not it's super small or a full-on build. And you really need the professionals to help you with that. But the key one is, of course, interview a few people. Find the one that you really can communicate well with. Again, the language is important, but also that they really understand what you're trying to do and that they're willing to keep you posted and apprised of what's happening while you're not here. This is all really important. The best advice I can give is you really need to, even if you have a project manager, you need to stay on top of it. You really need to be informed all the way along the process so that you you get what you want at the end of the day. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson, production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.